Where is Zach? He's supposed to be here preaching. It seems to me he was going to preach on praying with the prophets, right?
Yep.
I think. Yeah. Have you seen him?
I saw him earlier today.
Earlier, you saw him?
I saw him earlier.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen him. Well, hello. Who are you? What are you doing here? Hello.
I'm Jeremiah. And as for why I'm here, I don't quite know. The Lord has led me to this place, but what is this place?
Well, this is Bloomingdale Mennonite Church. We worship the Lord here on Sundays. We're supposed to be listening to a sermon from Zach, our pastor, about praying with the prophets, but we've lost him. We don't know where he is.
The shepherds. You got to keep your eye on them. Praying with the prophets, eh?
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah. I have a thing or two I can tell you about that, but it's not the most comforting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Jeremiah, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay. Jeremiah, wait a minute. You're the prophet that God sent to Judah, what, 6,000, 7,000 BC? That guy?
Now you're just making me feel old. Yes, yes, I am that prophet Jeremiah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, not that it's, you know, something that I'm particularly proud of. My message was not the most comforting message to bring to Judah. In fact, whenever the Lord would tell me what to say, I was rather haunted.
Mm-hmm. Which was painful.
It was, yeah.
But listen, you could preach to us. Oh, I can see it now, yeah. Oh. Praying with the Prophets by Jeremiah.
No.
Yeah. Why not?
Are you prepared to be haunted by the word of the Lord?
I don't know. What do you think? He's guaranteed to make us feel uncomfortable. Do you want to mean, after all, he is the word of God, and I think he needs the encouragement. Is that okay?
All right. Okay. I guess I can do that. What am I supposed to do? I just stand here, or what's...
Hey! You're the prophet of God. You're big. You're huge. You can stand anywhere you want. But okay. We're kind of a conservative little church. We like our big prophets stand in that little bitty space right there.
All right.
Okay. Take it away, brother.
Okay. I don't know about this thing up here, man, but. To get my scroll ready here. Okay. Oh, so you want me to talk to you? Oh, it just caught my beard. Okay, this seems to make some noise here. Okay, there we go. So you want me to talk to you about praying with the prophets? Well, let me tell you, one of the more shocking moments of my prophetic ministry came when God forbade me to pray for the people. That's right. God forbade me to pray. Judah had turned away from God. Evil acts abounded. Falsehood was the norm. Everywhere you looked, there was worship of false gods. Gods that asked us to do all manner of wrong things in our sacrifices. And I was not to pray for the people of Judah. This was rather shocking to me, you see. Everyone knows that a prophet is supposed to pray for the people, to God for the people. Take Moses, for example. When Israel was complaining and wishing they had died in Egypt or in the desert, Rather than face difficulties of entering the promised land, God was fed up, told Moses that maybe it was time to be done with Israel after all. Moses wouldn't stand for it. He interceded on Israel's behalf. He reminded God of the promises that God had made to Israel. He pointed out that God had claimed to be slow to anger and abounding in love. Moses' prayer worked. God relented and forgave the wayward people. The prophet's prayers were heard. Or take Samuel. When Israel was facing down the Philistines, Samuel told Israel to return to the Lord with all their heart and put away the foreign gods from among them. The people responded obediently. And then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him and delivered Israel from the Philistines. I heard these stories as a young boy and couldn't believe the boldness of Moses and Samuel. The way that they pleaded with God on behalf of Israel made a deep impression on me. Well, imagine my surprise when I, a young boy at the time, was called to be God's prophet to Judah, beginning during the reign of King Josiah. It wasn't long before I could really begin to relate to Moses and Samuel. I saw all manner of evil among my people, lies, all the lies. The people of Judah bent their tongues like bows. You couldn't trust your closest neighbor. And injustice, there was no care for the orphan to make it prosper, and no defense of the rights of the needy. The priests were corrupt, our king was corrupt, and even my fellow prophets were corrupt. People were worshiping false gods and going after whatever seemed to make them happy, with no regard for the law of God. Things were bad while most people, including the prophets, were saying, "We're fine. The Lord's on our side." People didn't even recognize their own evil. They were so deceived and self-assured. But I saw through the lies to the truth. The Lord made it plain to me, and I, though reluctant I was, I had to make it plain to the people. You can imagine this made me rather unpopular. There were threats on my life. The king burned my scrolls. I was even arrested and thrown in a deep, muddy cistern. Did people think that I wanted to preach this unpopular message? I was ready to pack it in a number of times, but the Lord would not let me. Every time I tried to hold in the message that God gave me, it was like there was a fire in my bones. I had to speak. But more than just showing me the evil among my people, the Lord also made something else plain to me. Remember before when I said that the word of the Lord was haunting? I'll tell you why. The Lord showed me that Judah's evil had a consequence. The armies of Babylon were coming. Just as Assyria had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel over a century before, so now the southern kingdom of Judah would be destroyed. Foreseeing this consequence, I remember once crying out to God and to the people around me, "My anguish, my anguish! I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart! My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet?" It shouldn't be surprising that some people call me the weeping prophet. I tried to reason with the people and call them to repent, but no one wanted to listen. Haunted by the vision of impending disaster for Judah, what could I do at this point but plead with the Lord? That's what a prophet is supposed to do, right? I started to picture myself as Moses, Samuel, pleading with God. Despite the corruption around me, I even began thinking through the details of my prayers. What could I say to God to make God avert this coming disaster and judgment upon Judah? Imagine my surprise then, when the word of the Lord came to me, not once, but but multiple times, saying, "Do not pray for this people. Do not raise a cry or prayer on their behalf, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry of prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in their time of trouble. Do not pray for the welfare of this people." Really, Lord? But you listened to Moses and Samuel. What about me? The Lord's answer crushed my spirit. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my heart would not turn towards this people. Send them out of my sight and let them go. Those destined for pestilence to pestilence, and those destined for the sword to the sword. Those destined for famine to famine, and those destined for captivity to captivity. You wanted to know what it was like to pray with the prophets. In my case, I was forbidden to pray for my people for a long time. What am I doing here? I thought. Why do I have to be the weeping prophet? What happened next? Well, my prophetic warnings of impending judgment unfortunately proved true. Jerusalem fell, conquered by Babylon. Some of my people were left to fend for themselves in the ruins of Jerusalem, myself included. And many were taken into captivity in Babylon. Some prophet, I thought. I will go down in history being the prophet that could ultimately only bring bad news. Then, one day, the Lord surprised me by asking me to write a letter to the exiles that had been sent to Babylon. I was to tell the exiles that they were going to have to stay in Babylon for 70 years. This was all part of the judgment they had to face. Contrary to some prophets that were saying the exile would last for only a little while, I had to tell the exiles to build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. I, Jeremiah the prophet, could now start praying for my people, and I could instruct them to pray too. But now my prayers and their prayers were to be directed toward the city toward which they were sent into exile for a time. God be good to the inhabitants of Babylon. Can you imagine? I knew that Babylon would face judgment one day too. It's not as if Babylon were blameless in all of this, you know. But for the time being, my people were to set up shop there and do their best to worship God in a foreign land. And God began to show me that someday, after this period of judgment and exile, God would restore my people. While there was no escaping the consequences of their evil actions, God nonetheless promised something new for my people, a day of rejoicing, a time for a new covenant between God and my people. And on that day, God said, the people's hearts would be changed. The Lord told me about this change. I will put my law within them, God said, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It was a wonderful word of hope. Those were difficult times, and yet times of promise too. I don't know what kind of times you people from the nations find yourselves in right now, but if you wonder how you should pray to the Lord of heaven and earth, if you wonder what you can learn from praying with the prophets, I have a few words of advice. First, pray that the Lord would show you the truth about the world around you. The truth about what is good and right to do in the world. And when the Lord reveals to you that truth, don't be afraid to speak that truth, be it to those in power or to those in your community. And don't be fooled by those who say, all good, all is good, or peace, peace, even when there's no peace. Where you see injustice or falsehood, name it and call for a better way. Second, pray that God would give you a spirit that is open to hearing the truth spoken to you from prophets around and among you, even, perhaps especially, if it makes you uncomfortable. It sure made my people uncomfortable. They wouldn't listen to the Lord's word of judgment that I was called to speak against their falsehood. Will you listen when the Lord speaks to you through prophetic voices? And most importantly, remember that God has written the law on your hearts. Will you take time to listen for that law in prayer? You've probably heard what the Lord requires of you, what the good and holy law of God asks of you. But are you willing to be the kind of people whose hearts are open to God's law, changing you from within? I couldn't help but notice some of these signs up at the front here. Words of confession from the Psalms. Words that ask the Lord to make you a people of truth, wisdom, and right spirits. As a prophet of the Lord, I can only hope that all people that seek the Lord from all nations would be a people with right spirits within them. Finally, wherever the Lord leads you in life, seek the well-being of those around you and pray for them. When the Lord led me to pray for Babylon and instruct the exiles to pray for Babylon, the Lord taught me that even when you can't see God at work, God is at work where you are. In the lives of your neighbors, your friends, in the lives of strangers too, and even in your enemies. Pray for their well-being, because their wholeness and well-being is part of your wholeness too. Oh, wow. I hope I've given you something to think about when it comes to praying with the prophets. I'm afraid this old prophet has babbled on long enough now, though. Time for me to hit the road again. I hope you find your pastor.